This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just to show you how crazy this tournament can be, Alabama State was shutting out Auburn. Now, granted, it was 10 seconds into the game, but it's now 3-3 as the number one overall seed Auburn Tigers are getting going, just underway. Wisconsin up 13 over Montana in the East region, I do believe, now up 15 as these games kind of continue. A couple finals in the books already, as Tobias has kind of addressed and told you. Creighton beat Louisville earlier. That was a pretty good game until it wasn't. But, man, what a – and Purdue, of course, beat High Point. Game we referenced several times in there. But the tournament's underway. It now – this is kind of that window where you're never going to be without four games until midnight, basically, right, as the last one sort of winds down. Then we do it all again, rewind it tomorrow. We are here at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor. We love it so much. We're happy to hang out. Hopefully you guys come out and see us. Come say hi, high five, watch some matters of sport. Giving away Nats tickets to opening day. We'll do that at 4 o'clock. Also want to remind you that as Washington prepares this offseason to protect its star QB, what are you going to do to protect your family's assets? It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condor and Morab, can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So we tease it, so we're going to pay it off. Tobes, big picture. Washington, the local 53, their offseason is well underway. By all accounts, kind of the major part of it, pre-draft, I would say is done. There'll be some more signings. That's going to happen as markets cool and they kind of go bargain hunting, but they spent a pretty good deal of their cap space. Give me your overall sort of 30,000-foot view here, your impression, your thought, your reaction to their offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this was going to be the offseason to go out and make some big-time moves, and they did with Laramie Tunsil, but kind of outside of that, because this is something we talked about going into the offseason. They're going to have a lot of cap space, which I think we had to be a little bit more nuanced with it and realize, like, they had so many free agents, which I think we've talked about plenty, that in reality, when you look at that big number that was approaching $80 million, it really wasn't 80. It was maybe a little bit less than that because of the fact that you were going to bring back so many of your own, which sure, they did. But it honestly a little bit underwhelming, Danny, outside of the fact that they traded for Tunsil. That's kind of the redeeming move for me. If you were to take the Tunsil move out and they didn't do it, I would say I'd be disappointed. Because they make the Tunsil move, and I think he's such a big asset for them to help out in the offensive line, to help out at left tackle, I actually think I would give them slightly above what I was expecting just because you got such an impact player. But at this point, the way that everything has been done outside of Tunsil, it's built around what are they going to do through the draft. And they've talked about this, right? Build through the draft. That's the philosophy they want. So I think it makes sense that they're going to still be around that. But kind of at this point, for me, to grade the offseason, it's going to be dependent on who do you get in the first round. Do you trade down out of the first round and you get a couple extra picks? Because the only guy that I feel, I mean, Debo, I guess, moves the needle a little bit. But you brought back kind of your own guys, which was expected. And Debo for a fifth is good value, but you're paying him $20 million now, or at least, you know,
could be up to worth that, yeah.
Yeah, $17 million guaranteed. Like, I don't know. I felt a little bit underwhelmed, and then the Tunsil move goes, okay, you're fine. But if they didn't have that Tunsil move, Danny, I really would feel disappointed in what they've done.
So this is actually, I think, a harder question than you'd think on the surface, right? Because I don't know what we actually expected. There wasn't really, to your point, I think you made a good one, there wasn't room to do a complete roster overhaul with stars. I know they had a lot of cap space, but they also had, what was it, 30 of their own free agents?
Yeah, 29.
They resigned 18 of them. And again, not a, they're not all huge, high-dollar guys, but Zach Ertz deserved a raise.
Yeah, but I mean, suddenly when you have 29 free agents and a couple of them get eight, well, I mean, suddenly that's not a lot of cap space.
Yeah, and Bobby Wagner deserved a raise. And, you know, you start adding those up, then, yeah, you run out of space pretty quickly. So now I think they are 16th or 17th, give or take, in terms of cap space. It depends on where you look. I'm looking here at overthecap.com. So there are still teams like the Patriots and the Seahawks who want to clear a bunch of space for who knows whatever reason to kind of lay in wait. The Chargers were trying to get out from some bad contracts to kind of start a new window with Justin Herbert and company. The Raiders have no answer at quarterback. They're in a bad spot. The Lions have actually done a really shrewd job of minimizing some salaries despite having paid the human praying mantis Jared Goff and a bunch of players on offense. So they're going to try to retool as they go. But it's not necessarily like if you have a lot of cap space, you're good, or if you have a lot of cap space, you're bad. It's just kind of where teams are in their builds and their cycles. So there's some teams up at the top with a lot of room that don't really have much direction. Then there's some that are probably the class of the NFC, see Detroit. Philadelphia kind of maximized right around where Washington is in terms of bringing some guys back and retooling, kind of reloading on the fly. So for me, this was a bigger than I expected offseason. My expectations were not Laremy Tunsil. My expectation, quite honestly, was I'm going to be a little frustrated. I thought, not that this group isn't smart. It always sounds like I'm negative and down on these guys. I couldn't
Yeah,
be,
why do you hate them, Danny?
Why do you hate me, really? they're so not Ron Rivera and the Marty Party.
Sure.
It's real NFL general managing leadership. And what I thought was going to happen was only the Bobby Wagners. Only the Zach Ertzes, only the Noah Browns. I did not see them trading for Deebo Samuel. I didn't think they would do it. I didn't think they were going to be in on Trey Hendrickson. I didn't think they were going to be in on Myles Garrett if it ever happened, or Harold Landry, who went and signed somewhere. I thought they would just do the thing that they just did and say, look at how good we are. Look at what we just did.
Yeah, run it back.
And which is defensible. I think those that really know, that take their fan glasses off, go, man, you had some good fortune. Doesn't mean you didn't earn it, but it took some pretty miraculous things for that to go your way. You had a rookie quarterback without a run game play ball control. That's not sustainable. No. It's not a sustainable way to do stuff. The offensive line really struggled down the stretch, and you could tell that was a priority for them to address it because they did. A defense that was a disaster. That we all know the story. You don't always get the Hail Mary. You don't always have a team with their playoff life on the line miss a kick that, you know, 65-70% of the league is going to make in that Atlanta game. Whatever the case, it took a lot of good fortune to get there. Again, they earned it. They were much better than they were the year before. That's obvious. You go from a 4-win team to they were probably a 10-win team. That's still awesome. That's still out-kicking what we all thought they could do by 6 wins or 4 wins, whatever. But I think they recognize what a lot of us did. It sounds like we're down on what happened last year. We're not. I had a great time like everybody else did. But I'm kind of going, yeah, it may not be that sustainable to have your second leading receiver be Olamide Zaccheaus. It may not be that sustainable to have a running game that totally disappeared in the second half of the season, minus the Tennessee game that kind of masked a lot of bad. It might not be sustainable to have a defense that couldn't stop either the pass or the run, so you just allow teams to run on you, right? So given all that, I thought they were going to be pretty quiet. And the fact that there are two major seismic trades this offseason to go with their usual array of free agency, I'm frankly pretty surprised. So I think I would say, if I've got to pin it down here, if it's met your expectations, exceeded, or below your expectations, I think because of Tunsil and Samuel to a degree, which is a... you know, one man's trash, another man's treasure. If he does what he did last year, which frustrated the bleep out of San Francisco fans, would be a godsend for this offense, I think. And maybe I'm overstating it, but again, having the looks that went to Jamison Crowder, De'Ami Brown, non-playoff version, and Olamide Zaccheaus going to Deebo Samuel, I'll take Deebo Samuel every time and twice on Sunday, please and thank you.
Yeah, I think the reason that I'm a little underwhelmed, though, is I thought – for sure, going into the draft, they would be decidedly better. And in some cases, they are, and some they're not. Like, I don't think the defense is better, Danny. Like, I don't
not
think
right now, not on paper.
They're not better than they were last year. So if they're taking a step back and they were already the part of the team that was kind of holding you back, I think the offense is better. Obviously, you've got a legit left tackle, which I don't even know how much you can quantify having as the guy that you can leave over there and allows you to game plan, do stuff differently. I don't even know that we can just perfectly quantify it here on the radio for you. Like, I think it's going to be a huge difference to have that left tackle. So I think they're better there. They have an upgrade of a weapon there with Deebo Samuel, like you mentioned. But if you're, you know, say you've taken one step forward on the offense or two steps forward, however you want to do it, they've taken a step backwards defensively. And so, yes, they're probably overall slightly better. I thought they were going to be decidedly better going into the draft. You also factor in the fact that, you know, they don't have a third-round pick. So you look at some of the picks that are gone, and I get that you'd rather have players over picks in a lot of cases, especially once you've got your quarterback on that rookie deal, see if you can win while he's there on that rookie deal. But I just don't feel like they're significantly better, and I thought they would be. And maybe that was too high of an expectation to set.
Did you think they'd be better everywhere at the end of free agency, or knowing that you can't fix everything at once?
Yeah, I knew they wouldn't fix everything, but a lot of it comes back to Kinlaw, like we talked a lot yesterday. Like, that doesn't feel like an upgrade to me. And the fact that you're spending 15 there, like, this free agent class wasn't great. And if you come back to me in a couple of, you know, 2 months after the draft and they've come away with a legit corner and they've got a edge rusher that they feel like they can depend on, then it'll be a little bit differently. I'm a big draft guy, so part of the frustration for me is I think they've given up a little bit too much of their draft capital. But I just don't feel like they're significantly better. And I thought through free agency they were going to be able to do a little bit more. They've had to do a lot of it through trade, and maybe that just speaks to how poor the free agent class was.
Or lack of depth or lack of impact.
I mean, sure.
If you're good, you're getting paid, and you can't be in the business of doing nothing but that, I think, right? Because you could do it once, you could do it maybe even a couple times, but it'd be nice if you could go, oh, here's the best safety on the market, I'll get him. Here's the best corner on the market, I'll get him. The best linebacker, the best whatever. Well, you're out of cap space, and now you can't resign anybody your own and whatever. You got to be somewhat judicious. And you break glass in case of this is a priority, see Tunsil, to me. I mean, so I was hoping, frankly, that they were going to be in on a couple of the marquee cornerbacks. That was the only spot in free agency where I go, there are a bunch of difference makers right here. Everyone from DJ Reed to Carlton Davis to a couple other guys. Not that I don't like Jonathan Jones. I think he's fine. I mean, let me rephrase. He's a major upgrade from Michael Davis St. Juice. You know what I mean? Thank you. So, and there I'm happy. There's some position flex with him, and I know that's a dirty word around here, with him and Sandra still, where if you motion one inside of the other, I'll banjo that. I got no problem, right? I'll keep one outside, keep one inside. If you try to motion to get me out of it, it's not a bad matchup for me if my guy that can also play in the slot plays in the slot, right? So I may be in the minority on this, but the things that I wanted them to do most this offseason – they did. And I know that we're not allowed to say that because you have to shout about the defense and stopping the run and everything else. But to me, I'm going, I need excellent offensive line play. Not fine. Not okay. Not getting away with stuff. And they improved 40% of their line with one acquisition in Tunsil. And I think Coleman's an upgrade wherever he ends up. Left guard, right tackle, I don't know.
Sure.
That's number one. And number two, I need another easy playmaker for Jaden Daniels. I can't ask any quarterback, let alone my second-year guy, where it's going to be much tougher next year than it was this year with the schedule and, you know, the league having all access to the film and plenty of time to try to figure it out, to just go, hey, man, be a superhero every single down. It's got to be easier at times. Enter Deebo Samuel for that. That's kind of what I was looking for, maximize and protect.
So that's where I think we disagree is – if you were to give me the option, there were two receivers that were traded for late-round picks this year. You had a fifth for Deebo, right? You had a seventh for Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
I think I would have taken Christian Kirk, and I might feel differently. I'm not very high on Deebo. I know he fits what they're trying to do. Deebo's built different.
I think that's the fun – to start to cut you off, that's the fundamental difference is I
correct.
Am. Yeah, I'm more bullish on him.
And I think, you know, he fits what you're trying to do, and he's a unique build. He's a unique player. But I want a legit number two receiver, and he's not that. And I know, you know, you're not even going to argue for that either. He's more of a weapon. And I think if you could get a guy who is a number two, and I don't think Christian Kirk at this point in his career is spectacular by any means, but he's a better true receiver than Deebo. He can't do the stuff that Deebo does, but I feel like I can find someone that can be my weapon, whether it's a running back in the draft or something like that. And I would have felt better if you said traded that seventh, if you had to go up to a sixth to make sure that you got Christian Kirk, you know, if Deebo would have gone somewhere else, then I would have much rather that and then spent a fifth rounder on one of these running backs in the class and felt like you could have done something like that. I think that's where our fundamental difference is, where Debo just doesn't move the needle to me. For a lot of people, he does.
Yep.
And I think he's a solid player. I don't hate the trade. No, it sounds like I do. I don't hate the trade.
Oh, you hate the trade. You know how you feel.
But he just doesn't move the needle for me. The only – maybe this is where I think that semantics-wise – the only needle-moving move that they made this offseason so far to
was
me
Tunsil to
was
you?
Tunsil. And because of that, I thought you were going to see a couple of those. Not like, holy smokes, they did that, but a couple of things where you're like, smart move, shrewd. I just, outside of Tunsil, I don't feel that.
So here's the, and you can tweet me, by the way, at FunnyDanny. Toby's at Toby_Altizer. Got a good one here from Travis. Washington offseason is consistent to last offseason. Fans, once again, will be disappointed because of the lack of big names, but will get over it if they have another great season. Largely, I agree with that, of course, the great season part. But last year, respectfully, there were a bunch of big names. Austin Eckler was a first-round fantasy draft pick for everybody that played the sport in, or not the sport, but you know everyone that played over the last decade. Bobby Wagner's a gold jacket dude. Frankie Louvu is a frontline defender. May not have made $1 billion, but kind of everybody knew it. Zach Ertz had tormented us for years. These were bigger names than, say, I don't know, as you're kind of going down the list, bigger names than Nate Herbig and Jacob Martin and Will Harris and Dietrich Wise. But I think generally the point stands. Here's the optimistic viewpoint. I'm going to throw it out at you. You don't like it, throw it back. I'm going to throw something out. You don't like it, throw it back.
Sure.
Okay? What if they shrewdly, went and found guys on that defensive front that more fit what they wanted to do? They inherited a built-in defense, especially that defensive line with all the resources that have been allocated. Now they kind of know who they are and what they'd like to do with it. So enter Dietrich Wise, Eddie Goldman, Ken Law, who's obviously much talked about. There's more size. There's more heft, if I could say that. Maybe a little bit of an idea of, okay, we've got one guy that we think could be an upfield playmaker in Johnny Newton. I don't know what Daron Payne's going to do in this system or scheme. It may be a matter of time before he's out here. They may be counting down the days for his contract to expire. Not much they could have done with him this offseason, I don't think. Maybe TBD before the draft. Who knows? Something to put a pin in. But maybe they went and found guys up front that fit, and it's going to be a sum of their parts front more so than it is, hey, I'd love Trey Henderson. Because I think they were in on having that superstar that's had 35 sacks over the last 2 years. But maybe there's something to that. If you can't go get the star, maybe get a bunch of guys that fit you better.
Yeah, I like the idea that they're finding, you know, I'm sure it was something where Dan Quinn and Joe Witt sat down with Adam Peters and said, hey, this is what we're looking for in a D-lineman. We want these traits. We're going to try to use them in this way. And Peters is throwing some names their way, and they eventually come together and they figure out some guys that they wanted with Martin and Kinlaw and some of these things. It could definitely work. I just think when you're looking at ways to do that, I'm more so worried about some of the stuff with giving up some of the draft picks, more so than probably a lot of other people are, because I look at it and say, you know, what's the old adage? Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Mm-hmm. And so when you get a guy who's 27, 28, you kind of know what they are. If you can fit them perfectly into the role that they're best fit, then fine, great. But if I get someone who's 22, 23, I can build them into my scheme. I can find ways to enhance some of those things. You still got to find their strengths, but maybe they did identify some stuff where they're like, Kinlaw is still good in this spot. Obviously, Adam Peters is familiar with him. Maybe we can use Martin or Wise or someone in this specific role because we see that they're good at this. They're going to fit our scheme. You know, I think they're smart enough. Like we've talked about plenty, that they deserve the benefit of the doubt, right? Like they showed last year that how many people were excited when Zach Ertz was signed? How many people were over the moon when Wagner was signed? Or Eckler, any of these guys? It's like you talked about for last offseason, it was like, are we signing these dudes in 2021 or 2024? Like, it was a little bit different for those guys going into the season, but they ended up being home run hits. So I trust what they're doing. It's just, for me, I expected, and maybe this is just being flawed because there really weren't big names that were going to be out there that you could get for a reasonable price, but I expected a little bit more out of the offseason than what I got.
So, you know that I'm a fat guy with a fat soul.
Okay, sure.
I'm trying to not be fat on the outside, and really part of the inside, right? But in deep down, in what makes me, I'm a fat guy. Okay. I don't know if you noticed what just happened. Did you?
No.
While you were talking? I saw a server walk by with a dish, And I was craning my neck to try to figure out what it was because it looked so good. And that's all I would. You just spoke very well. I don't know what you said for the last 30 seconds because I was trying to figure out, was that popcorn?
Okay,
shrimp?
Hold on.
Was that a special
thing? What was it? Do we know?
I don't know. And that's what I'm going to do this commercial break.
We need to find out.
I'm going to try to find out. I'm going to go over there and kind of do an awkward walk by to the tables on the other side of the room to see if I spot it. Because I want that. Whatever that was, I want
Yeah,
that.
I think it needs to be sitting right here, right next to us, in a couple of minutes. Whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
I think it needs to be sitting next to us.
So, you've heard Toby and I throw this around. I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What do you make of this offseason to this point? Obviously not done yet. We know that there's more free agency coming and that you still may have more Michael Gallup-type signings. The draft is coming. We know there's going to be much around that. But what do you make of this Local 53 and their offseason to this point? A couple of headliners, big names in Tunsil and Deebo Samuel. And then it's a lot of below the radar. It's a lot of the unsexy stuff that they kind of majored in last year. Rightfully so, I might add. What do you make of it? Toby, I would say whelmed.
Yeah.
Or underwhelmed. You're whelmed.
Yeah.
It exceeded my expectations. I'm excited. They did more than I thought they would. I thought we would just get the whelm type signings. We got a couple of headliners to make this offense better and easier for Jaden Daniels, which I'm all about. But what's your reaction? 800-636-1067. Remember, Nationals tickets at 4 to opening day. But your calls on the Washington 53's offseason to this point. Next on The Fan.
I mean, the way he can throw that ball, the way he's reading defenses, you know, all the decisions that he makes, it's uncanny, you know, especially coming from a rookie. I just want to get behind that train, you know, just be a reliable target for him.
I believe that was Michael Gallup from his press conference here, Tubbs. Get used to it. Sorry.
Michael Gallup, Commanders wide receiver?
Well, I mean, that part of it, but also the new player comes and starts talking about how awesome Daniels is thing. That has not gotten old for me yet. It might in like 10 years, 12 years.
Probably never.
15 years in. But man, and no, you as a young person, Tubbs, you know part of it. You've been here. But for a lot of us, wandering in the desert, thirsty for that beverage for so long.
I didn't get the 40 years of wandering. I just came in about, you know, like halfway through.
Since Joe Theismann broke his leg, I've been looking. There have been some good moments, whether it was, Mark Rippon not getting touched for 16 weeks, whether it was Brad Johnson in 99 dealing and shenanigans by the former owner who can kiss 100% of my tuchus. There have been nice seasons in between. Kirko chains, we know the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But there hadn't been this thing. The thing where the whole league is going, oh, my God, this dude's incredible. We have that. And so you get players who want to come out of retirement to come play for him. Players that had other choices that might want to go play. It's not going to be everybody. It's not going to be every single player that you want you get. This is a league. Everybody's competing. But it's nice to hear. What do you think? I think Jaden Daniels is great. I can't wait to play with him. Sorry. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I think, too, like not only do you bring guys out of retirement like Michael Gallup, I think dudes like Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, those dudes, I don't know if they would have retired if this team would have gone 4-13 again, but I can guarantee you one thing. They wanted to come back and play with Jaden Daniels one more time just to see if they can get over the top. So it re-energizes a whole team worth of people, whether it's young guys or old guys. It's great to have that dude here.
When we blitz the Beltway at 4, gives you a chance to win your Nationals opening day tickets. We'll do that there. Got some NFL rule changes that have been proposed. We'll talk about that in the 4 o'clock hour. And our series of spring training interviews continues. We caught up with new Nats third baseman Paul DeJong. He was awesome. Was great to chat with. And this is kind of like a Local 53 type signing here, Tobes.
Yeah.
I can't believe there wasn't any market for the guy. I can't believe they signed him for as little as they signed him for. And in terms of bargains, You're not going to find a better one in baseball, honestly, than a guy basically making the league minimum, Jake Taylor from Major League style, who can hit more than 20 homers at a position that's kind of a vacuum and an empty space, all with all due respect to Jose Tena or whoever they chart over there until Brady House is ready. But that is a tremendous deal that, if it doesn't work out, doesn't cost you very much at all. I can't believe there wasn't much more market for that dude, but whatever. He was wonderful with us. We'll play that for you at the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, value-wise, I don't know that you can do better than Paul DeJong for $1 million.
Yeah.
A guy that could potentially give you some pop at the bottom of the lineup. He's not going to have to be do a whole lot. He's going to bat, you know, 6th or 7th, somewhere around there, but play a good third base, and there was a hole there. So to fill a hole for $1 million in any sport is worth it.
That ain't bad. Yeah, and he's pretty good over there at third base. I was impressed with him in spring training. But topic of the moment, 800-636-1067, also happens to be our little teeny tiny Grant and Danny's poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Visit DCMetropolitanMoving.com. What's your assessment of the Washington Commanders offseason so far? Excited, satisfied, underwhelmed, indifferent? You got 33 1/3 people just like me saying excited, 40% saying satisfied. So are you unsatisfied or are you whelmed? That's whelmed to me.
Yeah, I would be whelmed.
Whelmed?
Whelmed.
You're not underwhelmed.
No, it's not hugely disappointing, but I am whelmed.
Underwhelmed 15% and indifferent around 6%. So if you're scoring at home, and I'm sure you are, anytime there's a poll, you're anxiously awaiting the updates in real time, pretty much 75% of people are fine with it or excited about it. I think that's kind of the theme here. 800-636-1067 is the number. Your reaction to the offseason, let's go to line two. Dez in Waldorf, where are you at on this offseason for Washington?
Hey, I'm excited, man. You know, I feel a lot of what you guys are saying, but I kind of got a couple, like, reports, man, like, especially with the offense. I really like what we did with the offense. I feel like, man, we're going to have 6 pass catchers on the field at one time before people were able to run the ball with Jada, Ackler, you know what I'm saying, B-Rob and Debo. When it comes to the defense, though, I feel like we did a lot of better job than people giving us credit for. They acting like Zay Allen wasn't hurt most of last year, and our D-line wasn't terrible. We done added a whole lot of big bodies up there, you know what I'm saying, to stop the main thing, which was a rush. And as far as the draft, I mean, Coach, you said you was a draft guy. But, dude, the last 2 years, Mel Kiper, Lewis Riddick, all them guys, they've been talking about the 2025 draft and how bad it's going to be. For 2 years now, they literally only been saying that the edge rushers and
point.
The safeties are going to be good.
Yeah, no, that's a sharp point, Dez. You know, I appreciate you, dude. Thank you so much for the call. It's a good one, and that's the thing. I mean, think about it.
Now, definitely
it's not, it's not 1-to-1. Obviously, there are players in every draft. When we think a draft stinks, sometimes guys turn out great or otherwise. But think of the NBA draft, right? Where there was a great year to get the number one overall pick. Some guy named Victor Wembanyama was the number one.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy.
Then there's another year that's not that great year to get the number one
pick. Anthony Bennett.
Right? Yeah, Anthony Bennett. Or, you know, you can name that name.
Ben Simmons.
Or, you know, this past year, honestly, it wasn't that exciting for Atlanta to get Zachary Risacher, I promise.
No.
Nice piece.
I mean, would you rather have, yes, Risacher or Cooper Flagg?
The answer is Risacher. Right? No. Oh, dude, I messed up. Oh, I'm so bad at this. Yeah, of course it's Flag. I mean, that's the deal, right? Sometimes it's bad luck. So this year, again, it may be, you know, we don't love the guys that we would have taken in round three. Or there's a certain year where you go, man, you're gonna, the fifth guard off the board in round three is better than guys that are first-rounders 2 years ago at that same spot. You never know. These guys are going to be right and wrong about a million things. But at least there's confidence in that level of evaluation, that 3D chess that you need GMs and smart executives to play that leads to, you know, good value decisions. So we talked about this a bunch, Tobes, in general, when it came to the 2019 Nationals, right? People that read Michael Lewis's Moneyball, and if you haven't, I highly suggest it. Even if you're not a baseball fan, it's really insightful, really smart. Michael Lewis is a great author. But the point wasn't on base percentage. That was the takeaway that everybody came out, and that's kind of the thing they made in the movie. Mm-hmm. The point was to find the weakness in the market that's undervalued by teams and exploit that to try to compete. So the A's haven't just been an on-base percentage machine. Once they started doing that, well, everyone else started doing that. Then now you're paying, you know, and in his prime, Johnny Gomes, more money than you're paying, you know, I don't know, some all-star. So they go, okay, well, what's undervalued? defense and strikeouts, so we'll do that. Now that everybody appreciates strikeouts, what's undervalued? Base running, so we'll do that. The point is, when something is overvalued, you can take advantage another way. And I actually happen to believe, I've given up benefit of the doubt to this front office, Topes, that that's what they did. I think they said everybody's so busy hoarding some of these draft picks
sure.
that are more often than not, you know, Deami Browns, again, non-playoff Deami Brown because that's Jerry Rice, but not, you know, more often Deami Brown where you've got 30 catches in 3 years, and I could use that to go get my starting left tackle for the next decade. I could use that to go get Deebo Samuel, who's going to be impactful for me and be my number two receiver, or whatever. So I think they kind of went, here's what's undervalued. Here's where everybody's paying a premium. We don't want to go win bidding wars to pay premiums
sure.
for some of these premium spots. You can do it once or twice, but you can't major in it. Maybe that's the thinking.
Yeah, the other thing that I think they did a good job with, and you're right about this draft, where and the caller was right, this isn't a draft that is as deep as some of we've seen in the past, and it doesn't maybe have the high-level talent, but I still think there's some good guys that you can get in this draft. But
of course, there will be, yeah.
I think the thing that they did a good job of, and Ron would talk about this sometimes, but I don't know that he would always do the best job of it, is saying that we're going to fill our needs so that when it comes time for the NFL draft, we're not sitting there at 29 like, well, it's got to be edge rusher.
We have to do
that.
Yeah.
We got to do that. It really doesn't matter. I don't think that's going to be the case where I think that that's probably their most glaring need is edge rusher. But if they decided to go corner at 29, if they don't trade out of the pick, you don't blame them. They're totally fine. If they were to step on the football field right now, they would feel equipped, which I think they've done a good job of, where now you go into 29 and that's a luxury, whether you want to say, okay, we can move back because we want to make sure that we get a couple of extra picks in the second round, or you say, we're going to take this edge rusher, or if they really want to get aggressive, maybe James Pierce or someone they love at edge rusher is still there at 22, and they're like, you know what, let's go get that guy.
Let's do that.
So they can maneuver and kind of do whatever they want. They can go best player available, which is generally the best idea to do in the draft anyway. So they've done a good job setting themselves up for that. And like I said, I'm more of the draft guy than probably a lot of people. It's something that I really enjoy. It's my favorite time of the year outside of, you know, the actual football season. It's my favorite part of the offseason. So I think for a lot of people, maybe they don't look at it this way, but I think what you're going to be able to do is improve this team through the draft for years to come, and I think they forfeited a little bit of that with some of these draft picks, but you get stud players like Laramie Tunsil, and I'm never going to argue with that.
So don't look now, but Alabama State with possession late in the first half, down 3 against Auburn. And they'll be going to the line with a chance to cut it down to 1. Yeah, we talked about this the other day. In fact, it was yesterday, I think we talked about it, Tobes. There's something to surviving that first 4. And you get a little juice, you get a little momentum, and all of a sudden, the number one overall seed that's come in, by the way, lost 3 or 4 themselves, is feeling a wee bit pucker, sir. Beltway Blitz at 4, chance to win Nationals tickets. Next, the double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. I have a critical bit of information that I have owed you guys this entire show. I haven't even updated Tobias to this. He's totally in the dark as to what's happened. It's something I promised to give you guys yesterday. And I can't believe you've gone this far without knowing it. I will tell you that next on The Fan. G&D with you on The Fan, no GP, but yes, Toby, he's here hanging out at Tap Sports Bar, hopefully with you. Knock off work a little bit early, come on by, eat some delicious foodstuffs, as we are wont to do. Reminder, just 15 minutes away from your chance to win Nationals opening day tickets. We will give those away. Got a couple more chances to win tomorrow morning at 8 on the Junks, noon be Mitch and Finley, and then 4 o'clock with us, but you're running out of time. Opening day's a week from today, people. Get on board. A couple other notes I want to give you guys. 4 o'clock will Beltway Blitz. There's a litany of rule change proposals in the National Football League. We will break some of those down and talk about some of the ones we like, don't like, and rules that we would change, certainly, as this kind of comes up, an inevitable part of the offseason when the counter's a little bit slower for the NFL. But it's time, as we always do, 3:45 on a weekday. We're going to do a little thing we like to call the double play. Double play has a read here, Darius, and you're probably trying to figure out why I don't know where it is. There it is at the top of the page, just like you put it right at the top. I circled right by it. You're like, Danny, why don't you just do the read? I'm like, it's right in front of me. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on a rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. So I promised you guys a huge piece of information. Something I can't believe you guys have gone this far. It's almost 4 o'clock without 2-plus hours of the show, Tobes. Played pickup hoops last night. My first time back on the court in a while. Not in very good shape normally, especially bad with a couple of weeks off. I missed 1 week because of illness, 1 week because of a vasectomy, and now I am back on the court. So we played in a new gym last night. The spring season's on Wednesdays, not Tuesdays. Normally you're looking for updates on Wednesdays after Tuesday night.
Sure,
that's now Thursday and Wednesday. So I know everyone's going to be
throwing off by a day. But yeah,
everyone's going to get used to the schedule again. Streaky in terms of the shooting. Had a couple of games where I knocked down a few threes. A couple of games I couldn't find it. That happens when you're fatigued. At the end, it was pretty bad. Had a few passes that I was pretty proud of. But again, I have no explosion, no ability to do anything other than just kind of linger around and hope it kind of goes my way. Defensively got my ass kicked per normal. So the big deal from the game last night, and we're playing, I try to be a good teammate, a good pickup teammate, you know, and not just shoot every time down.
Of course, like, yeah.
I feel like
I wish my pickup teammates were like
and
that.
And I don't. So one of the things I do is I'll make sure I, you know, Jerry's a true point guard. I was playing with Jerry a lot last night, so I'll give Jerry the ball. Craig is in great shape, so Craig moves around a lot. So I was trying to screen for Craig. Little back screen. I'm down on the block. Craig's on the wing. I'm going back screen. So if my guy doesn't help, Craig's back door. If my guy does help, I can now pop in either for a shot. Now they're running at me. Maybe Craig's open. Maybe I can reverse it. Anyway, you know, it's a thing you don't normally see, so I'm doing a little back screen. Well, so let's set up the scene here. Brian, who's physical, is guarding Craig, okay?
Okay.
Brian, you know, is a little bit my age, a little bit older maybe.
Sure.
Moves around pretty well for a guy his age, but he's not afraid of contact. He's a physical dude, physical player. Good player, clean, right? I think it's his nephew, Matt, who comes sometimes. Matt's a brick house, left-handed shooter. Matt does the kind of thing where he's like, all right, I'm driving left, and like 4.5 minutes later, he's still driving left and gets a shot off because he's stout. You know, mm-hmm. He's got that Corliss Williamson, if you know your Arkansas Razorbacks history, type game. Good player. So Matt's covering me, and Brian is covering Craig. So I go to set the screen for Craig. Matt doesn't call a screen out.
Oh.
So Matt doesn't say anything, and I'm going, hey, it's all happened in slow motion. Like, I'm here. Brian doesn't know I'm here. Craig is going to take off running. I now, like, it's going to be an effective screen, but oh, crap. Like, this is not what we're here for. You know, we're here to get some exercise in and knock down some shots. So Brian, no fault of his own, is trying to run with Craig. You know, kind of reaches his arm out to sort of, you know, as you start running, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's a forearm to my chin first and into my chest,
oh,
which knocks me back. And I'm not dizzy, not my bell rung kind of thing, but it, like, you know, wasn't comfortable. But the real thing, knee to knee.
Mm.
Oh, Tubbs.
Brutal.
Now, anybody who's done the knee to knee bit, there's always somebody that's like, oh, hey, our knee's hit. And the other person is like writhing in pain, and it's that funny bone feeling, but in your knee. My knee today is still jacked up. I'm limping around here like I just finished a Thursday night football game. You know, like I just made 60 tackles in a game. I can't sit. I can't stand. I woke up a dozen times last night trying to fall asleep because the thing is bad. I'm, like, worried this is more significant than just me being an old fart. So that's the update.
Yeah, that's not great.
Nope.
Hopefully it's nothing too bad. I have torn my ACL and screwed up my meniscus, and hopefully it's none of those things.
I hope it's none of those things. I was going to try to get some people to play pickleball today. I was going to try to play myself before we came to Tap Sports
Bar. Sure, of course.
And I'm going, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, not today, not after
that. I don't think I'm doing that. If I had to do, like, yard work today, I'd probably have to wear, like, one of those knee sleeve things, you know? It ain't right, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm struggling.
Not great. It's time for my double play. So,
see, so, he wasn't. Yeah,
there we go.
Because he wasn't ready. The voice guy wasn't
sure.
ready.
Yeah,
he's, oh my God! Now
he's
he had to put his headphones
he's
on.
Warm up. I got it.
That's old
I got
thing.
It. Look,
yeah.
Look. I mean, we're on remote. They're watching games like us. I get
right,
it.
I mean, yeah,
a little distracted.
Yeah,
I get it. So this isn't great, but we were down in West Palm, as you know, for a couple of days. And so I got home last night, and there is nothing to eat in the fridge.
Yeah.
And, Danny, I'm too lazy to go to the grocery store during the middle of the week a lot of times because, you know, we're getting done at 6:30 with traffic. By the time I'm getting back to my area around 7:30, I'm like, maybe I just – so I am in now a bad spot, Danny, where – we went out every single night when we were in West Palm, obviously, because we're not cooking at the Airbnb.
Right, it's not a thing.
And I think it's going to be through the end of this week, too, because there's still nothing to eat. So last night I went out and got a steak. Thankfully, we've got some stuff here at Tap, so I might get something at Tap before I get out of here tonight. And then tomorrow, we're looking at a bad situation here, Danny, where I might need to give your boys over a co-pair a call. I'm eating out a little bit too much, Danny. We're eating. I don't know the last time I've made a home cooked meal. Maybe need to. I got some stuff in the fridge or freezer that maybe I could thaw, but it's just a little bit too lazy. And I don't know that during the NCAA tournament is the time that I want to go shopping and cooking.
There's some dudes I know who are good at this sort of thing, right? Where they relish that stuff, even when they were single dudes. They love the idea of, like, going and getting something fresh and making it for themselves and being a part of it. I don't have the bandwidth or the energy to, like, go shopping, figure out a recipe, cook something, and have it not taste terrible. Like, to me, the whole thing is such a hassle. Like, when I was a single person, I ate carryout, delivery, whatever, every single night. And it's a huge waste of money, to your point.
Big time.
Not a waste. It's enjoyable food. You know what I mean? It's a big expense, and it's part of why I need the folks to co-pair. You know what I mean? Like, my 20s were a disaster on that front. And I'm still going, I'm in shape. No, I'm not. I haven't been in shape in a long time. That was like, you know, when I'm like 25, 26, 27. Oh, I wish I could do it right.
I've been hurting myself in that I've basically had a plan to try to get in shape, get to the office early and work out a little bit, do some different stuff, you know, a couple times a week, just nothing ridiculous. I've done it a couple of times this year, but then I always have an excuse as to why I can't start. I've got, obviously, the West Palm trip. I've got this and that. I've got food. I've come up with a million different excuses, and we're almost to April now, and I still haven't even gotten a plan yet.
Yeah, so, little New Year's resolution.
It's not even one of those things, Danny, where it was like, I'm just consciously not doing it. Like, I think about it all the time.
You didn't check
the
date.
I could easily do it.
It was a 2026 New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I haven't even been like, oh, I give up on it. Like, but we're middle of March now. So, I don't know. Maybe we need to make a lifestyle change. I'm not the most disciplined and self-motivated person, so we're running into some problems there. But we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. That's how we do the double play. We do it every day, 3:45, except for Friday where we went off the field, people. Mm. We're a Tap Sports Bar watching the tournament games. Houston's closing in on a blowout win. They look like a legit contender here against an overmatched SIU Edwardsville State Tech. I don't know. I don't know where Edwardsville is, but I know that they're going to be a one and done here. McNeese is giving Clemson the business right now. Again, just I love it. The tournament is so wonderful. We have plenty more to come on this program. Beltway Blitz time here when we come back, and your chance to win opening day Nationals tickets. Don't go anywhere.